Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm not with you in person today because my family and I are at the UMJC conference in Ohio. So I pre-recorded this message. I hope you're having a wonderful Shabbat. And I want you to turn in your Bibles as we continue through the book of Hebrews to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Our text today will be Hebrews 7, 1 through 10. And we now turn to this mysterious figure in Scripture, Melchizedek. He pops up a couple of times, including here in Hebrews, and we're going to learn about him today. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed them. So who is this strange character, this strange figure, Melchizedek? He just kind of pops up, and the writer of Hebrews just inserts him automatically in here, really without warning. Why is that? Well, because today we're going to be looking at who Melchizedek is, and there's a reason for that, because as we continue in the book of Hebrews and we learn about who is Yeshua, we have to understand who he is in light of this mysterious figure, Melchizedek. So let's begin with that. We look at him, and we have to go all the way back to the beginning in Scripture. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 17. After his return, now this is Abraham or Abram, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, which is another way of saying Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is called the king of Salem, and it is well understood that Salem is another word or a reference to Shalom. It's the same root word, which means, of course, peace. So Melchizedek is the king of peace. Also, Salem can refer to Jerusalem, which is, of course, the city of David and the city of Messiah, Yeshua. So Melchizedek is both the king of peace and the king of Jerusalem, as is understood. Now, going along with this Genesis account, let's continue and pick up in our text today in Hebrews. Hebrews 7, we're going to go to verses 2 and 3. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything, to Melchizedek. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. Now, this is an important, important passage of Scripture. In these verses, what we first see is Melchizedek is given two titles. The first one is King of Righteousness. And if we look at Melchizedek, the name, if you translate that name, it's King of Righteousness, because Melchi is like Malach, which is king, and Tzedek is righteousness in Hebrew. So he is literally translated, his name is King of Righteousness. A righteous person is someone who is upright, moral, or good. So we see that this King of Righteousness, we see his character traits here. He is good, he is upright, he is moral. But we also know that King of Righteousness, that term, is actually a messianic term. It is ultimately bestowed upon the Mashiach, the Messiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 32, 1 says this, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule in justice." Now, biblical commentators and scholars believe that this passage, Isaiah chapter 52, and specifically Isaiah 32 and 32:1, they believe that it refers not to just any type of human king in history, but it is a messianic king that it's talking about, the Messiah. Now, That's what most scholars and commentators believe, but it's not so clear just directly from the text. So now let's go somewhere where it's more crystal clear, this link of King of Righteousness and Mashiach or Messiah. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. And we read this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." So we see that this righteous branch, who is described in 23, he, this righteous branch, shall reign as king. It's a very, very messianic passage and is always known to be with scholars. Now, besides the King of Righteousness title, Melchizedek is described with a second title, and that is King of Peace, or King of Shalom, the King of Shalom. And we know that peace doesn't just mean peace, right? The word shalom in Hebrew can mean peace, it can mean hello, it can mean goodbye, but really the essence of the word shalom means wholeness or completeness, lacking nothing. The Messiah in Scripture is the Prince of Shalom. He is wholeness. He is completeness. There is nothing lacking in him. And he's referred to specifically in Scripture, Messiah, as a King of Peace. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Now, Isaiah, the prophet, has very prophetic utterances in many different chapters and passages in the book. And Isaiah chapter 9 is one of those chapters. It's all about Mashiach. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So the Messiah is the Prince of Peace. This is an amazing scripture because the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, it says will reign. It also calls him Everlasting Father, Mighty God. We don't even have time to get into that with our message today. But what all this means is the Messiah is bestowed the title, like Melchizedek was, as the King of Peace. We know Yeshua came 2,000 years ago as the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. So Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, points us to Messiah, King of Righteousness, King of Peace. Now, there are just two scriptures in the Tanakh where Melchizedek is mentioned. One we read from already, which is Genesis chapter 12. The other one is one of the Psalms, and it's Psalm 110. I want you to turn to Psalm 110. We're going to start with verses 1 and 2. Now, take my word for it, this psalm refers to Melchizedek. We're not going to read about those verses first. We're going to get to that later. But let's just start with Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies." This psalm, Psalm 110, is universally believed to be about the Messiah. And he will be a king, as we know. Yeshua, we know, is that king, King Messiah, both the King of Righteousness and a King of Shalom, or a King of Peace. All of this points us to Yeshua. Point number one, Melchizedek shows us the kingship of Messiah Yeshua. Now let's go back to our Hebrews text and continue on with the passage today. Hebrews chapter 6, we start with verse 4. "See how great this man was, Melchizedek, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law, or the Torah, to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham, the Levites." Verse 6, "But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises," Abraham being the one who has the promises. So first of all, in this passage, we see the writer of Hebrews calling Melchizedek great. He's a king, we've seen that, and now he is someone who is receiving tithes, this great person, receiving tithes from Abraham. Now, as the text states, the priests were the ones who received tithes from people. The priests were receiving the tithes. The people were bound by Torah to give tithes to the Levites, the Levitical tribe and the Levitical priesthood. Abraham was the ancestor of the Levites. So in essence, Abraham is father of the priests, and the priests, the descendants of Abraham, were paying respects, giving tithes, and were being blessed in return by Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is a priest. He functions as a priest, but he's greater than the priests. He's greater than the Levitical priesthood because the priests are bowing down to him through Abraham, their forefather. Melchizedek's priesthood is different than the Levitical priesthood, and it is, we're going to see, eternal. Now let's turn back to Psalm 110 again, that messianic passage, that other reference, and let's read about that. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who is the you that is described in Psalm 110? It is the Messiah. Clearly, all people agree, commentator-wise, this is the Messiah. You, Messiah, are a priest forever. Not of the order of the Levites, but the order of Melchizedek. Now, we are going to be exploring in weeks to come in the book of Hebrews the priesthood of Melchizedek and how that order of that priesthood is different from the order of the priesthood of the Levites. So we'll get to that later. But what we need to understand is Yeshua is not a priest after the Levitical order. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is a priest and a king described in Psalm 110. He's a priest forever, just like Melchizedek. Point number two in our message, Melchizedek shows us the priesthood of Yeshua, the order of the priesthood of Yeshua. Now let's go back to our Hebrews passage one more time for today, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 7 through 10. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. Remember, we talked about that. Verse 10, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now, what's interesting about this passage, among other things, is that in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, it says, of whom it is testified that he lives, Melchizedek. This is taken to mean he lives on, or Melchizedek lives on, or he doesn't die. He is eternal. Melchizedek is actually seen as what we call a theophany. A theophany is a manifestation or an appearance of God, or an appearance of Yeshua pre-incarnate. Now, there are many times in Scripture where we see theophanies, specifically in Tanakh. Now, one example, and I used this in my message last week, is in Genesis chapter 18, when three angels come to visit Abraham and Sarah, and they tell them in a year's time, you're going to have a child, it'd be Isaac. But that is a great example of a theophany, because those three angels end up being two angels and God himself as an angel. So that's a theophany. That's an example of a theophany. And this theophany of Melchizedek is really a precursor or a forerunner or a figure of Yeshua pre-incarnate. He always has existed. He is eternal. Now, the Moody Bible Commentary has a quote, which I thought was really good, related to Melchizedek's link to God. And the commentary says this, quote, this identification of Melchizedek with God explains why Abraham immediately recognized and submitted to Melchizedek's authority or superiority, not simply out of social respect, but as an expression of faith and worship, end quote. So we see how Melchizedek is superior to Abraham or Abram. Melchizedek is a theophany of Yeshua. As such, he has an eternal nature, like Yeshua, who has an eternal nature. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, is a parallel chapter to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. That means He was eternal. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing, without Him was not anything made that was made. This is a clear, talking about Yeshua here clearly, of His divine nature and His eternal nature. Now turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 58. Very simply here, these are Yeshua's words. John 8, 58. Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Yeshua is living 1,000 years or so after Abraham, yet He is saying, before Abraham existed, I was. That is an eternal reference there. Now, remember, the priests, through Abraham, their forefather, brought tithes to Melchizedek. They yielded to him as superior. In the same way, we can see Yeshua is superior. In fact, we know one day all humanity will yield, will be subordinate to Yeshua the Messiah. Turn with me to Philippians, our last scripture of the day. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 says this, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Yeshua every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You put all this together, and point number 3 in our message says, Melchizedek showing us, he shows us Yeshua's superiority and His eternal nature. This is a clear picture of us, of who Yeshua is. So we see a lot from this mysterious figure, Melchizedek. He is a king of righteousness. He is a king of peace. He is a foreshadowing of Yeshua. He shows us who Yeshua is as king, as priest, and as one who is superior to all others with a divine and eternal nature. This is a great picture for us of who Yeshua is through the book of Hebrews. I'm going to close us in prayer. Father, we thank You for this wonderful word in this passage in Hebrews today. I pray that You continue to bless us as we go through this book, that You continue to guide and direct us as we learn more about who is Yeshua, our Messiah. We thank You and praise You, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone.